Hey guys, it's Sonia here. How are you today? Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Sonia Denise podcast. I am so excited to have you here with me. We are going to be diving right in with what's next. Hey guys, we're picking up exactly where I left off there, and we have a very special guest with us today. Before we dive too far, this is episode 193, and Eva, will you take some time and introduce us, please?
Sure. My name is Eva Venari. I'm founder of the Elevate Institute out of Los Angeles, but I really could be anywhere because I get to work with people remotely, specifically working with professionals to heal their physical body and along the true holistic spectrum of being. So that's everything from the physical to the metaphysical.
And when you introduce yourself to somebody and you bring up just what you did, the physical and the metaphysical, and they look at you with the deer in the headlights, this is not meant to make anybody laugh or not laugh, but I mean like shelter away. It's just a way some people respond when they hear the word quantum physics or metaphysical, and they get a little put off, in my opinion. So, walk me through what happens when you come across somebody who's interested in your information and they're so curious and they want to move forward, but then you drop in a word like metaphysical. Let's go there.
I was surprised at how many responded with, "Oh, I'm so glad because I've been looking for somebody who had that aspect to them also."
Ooh. So the people that you are attracting more often than not are people who are looking to fill in the gap with metaphysical experiences. And so talk to me about, share with us your most common avatar, how she walks, how she talks, who she looks like. I imagine it's a she. And then integrate the metaphysical in there for me so we can all get a greater understanding to who we're speaking to today, who are our target audiences between both of our demographics today.
Yep, we have a person who is generally female, generally Gen X, could be on either side of the generation wars there, who are experiencing some discomfort in the physical body. They have a cluster of symptoms they've gone to and have a history with doctors who say things like, "Everything's in normal range. We don't know what's wrong with you. Take some pain medication here, some antidepressants. We know that won't solve it, but that's the deal." And they're also experiencing things like energetic shifts that they can't understand. They call it, "I think I'm opening portals," or "I'm not quite sure what's happened since my," and they'll name a family member passed away, or and they have some sort of energetic shift in them that they can't articulate because we don't talk about this stuff enough. They could be someone who is, and most often they are, in the healing realm. They've woken up to the idea of, "I'm a healer too, but I don't know what that looks like yet." They have a spiritual gift that is not fully recognized, articulated, formulated, and nurtured. In other words, they're the person who sees the ghost, but nobody else does. They're the person who hears the telepathy of a person or a being in the ether, and suddenly, "Am I crazy? Afraid to say?" So these are in the individuals who are ideal for me because they're ready. They're ready to learn. They want to learn. They want to stop being scared of themselves,
Yeah,
and
and
they want to
what's
feel
it that
better.
they're scared of at the end of the
Well,
day, you know?
aren't we trained? I think you kind of alluded to that. It's like, well, what do people say to you when you mention metaphysics? Well, there's, first of all, confusion between cult and occult. And so people hear the word occult, which is hidden energies, anything you cannot see with the technology of our eyeballs. Occult just simply means it's the unseen, hidden. Cult is a whole other thing.
Yeah.
I don't get into that. But the occult is part of my world of the unseen. And we talk about that in terms of angels and church and maybe people who've passed, and we can still communicate with our family. It's on the other side. And many people have those personal relationships. But as soon as you start talking about a haunting, oh, that's a guilty pleasure.
And
So.
would haunting at all with would you categorize haunting as a characteristic, so to speak, that somebody feels or an intuition that they feel if they're working before they decide to work with you?
I have had that happen where they've always felt different from birth. They always say I felt different my whole life. Or my grandmother used to talk about having these gifts to see family members, and I never she was thought of as crazy, but she passed away with this ability. Now I have it. And these are just untapped gifts, right, that have yet to be woken up. And I find that people are scared of things they don't know about yet. Think about, like, what is the thing you're scared about most? For me, it was sharks because I saw Jaws when I was 4, and like that was stupid. So you can't even get into a pool once you see Jaws because in your mind's eye, there's a shark in that pool. And so I started to read about it and learn about it. Now sharks are one of my interests, my special interests, and I'm less scared of them now. So I think that's the same concept. We take that idea and we apply it to the spiritual world. There's a whole world of not just angels, loved ones, guides, higher self, beings that are here to help us, and some that are not. And we need to learn to distinguish the difference between the two, especially if you have the gift of spiritual connection.
Yeah, so let's take this gift of spiritual connection and unpack it to that next level. How do we use that gift in day-to-day life?
Yeah. Well, here's a very, very fun thing is that I have noticed a connection. I'm bringing into our conversation a new little area. I found out very late in life I'm on the spectrum, and I have found every single possible way to have dyslexia. I'm severely dyslexic in all of them. Like I get the gold star for all of them,
I'm not
and
laughing at you. I have
no.
to ping pong for a second and just butt in as friends would do, ping pong you in a conversation and share that, recently, I've been I want to say informally diagnosed, but for the length that I do research, I'm well in tuned with, okay, yes, I have ADHD and anxiety, which explains things. So yes, a later in life diagnosis when it comes to things like dyslexia. So for me, for my story is I learned French at the same time I learned English. I was taught bilingual. So E's, I's, G's, J's,
Oh, you poor thing.
those were nasty even to this day.
Yeah.
So the other day I was spelling something to my husband and he looked at me and I had transposed the numbers or the letters. And he's like, I thought that only happened when you wrote things down. I'm like, I guess not, because it came out of me. And we're talking, I'm 52, we're about the same age. We are that Gen Xer that we're talking about. And you've got two of us here, and we're both sharing that later in life, we have identified neurodivergencies on different levels. And I think this is
Yes.
important to expand on. And so I know a little something. Let's see if you're going to share that little something that we did not talk about behind the scenes about neurodivergence and spiritual gifts.
I think they're tied. Ta-da! Yeah, absolutely. I've come to this conclusion. More and more people have softly diagnosed,
There we
self-diagnosed,
go.
or been diagnosed in the last 5 years, but since COVID, since we had time to stop, killing ourselves with the daily grind and just sit back and relax and go, why am I so crazy? We were able to answer those questions. And I've noticed those in my sphere, fellow healers, gifted in the spiritual sense, also are the same group of people. So they've all raised their hand. And I think there's something to the neurodivergence that pre-wires us for an ability to tune in to our gifts and develop them in a non-linear way that is required for spirituality that a neurotypical person's brain cannot handle. And some of them who are neurotypical and spiritual are going to get mad at that. Maybe you're not neurotypical.
And let's expand on this with a couple of different examples. And the first example I want to use is I have a weighted blanket. It's my daughter's weighted blanket. It was gifted to her. She decided she was done with it. She didn't want to use it anymore. And I was laying on the couch in a healing phase, and she brought it to me. And I feel like my whole body goes when it's on me. Now, my husband had it on the other night, and he absolutely hates it. He finds it like lead. He finds it, he can't move. He did not like it at all. And for me, it felt like a hug. So, and I said to him, I said, maybe this is one of the difference of what neurodivergent people experience versus divergent people or non-neurodivergent, right? And that's one example. There's another example of, and this is probably more common than we realize, and taking advice from somebody that tries their best, but there is still something missing. So, somebody who's not neurodivergent, it doesn't matter how old you are when you find out, even if you think that you are, you're gonna go up the bat and miss more often than you can count when it comes to taking advice from other people. Unless you do your homework and you find out who else is neurodivergent, who else can communicate your language, and who can deliver content in a way that you can wrap your head around. And here's a primary example. You know, we've been going back and forth, Tony and I, about over the years about me setting up a schedule and the things I need to do and how it should look and la-di-di, la-di-da, all with great intent. A, I had a hard time coming up with it. B, it was way too structured for me. See, it just didn't work. I couldn't sustain it. It did not work. Well, have a solution. I'm working on it. It's not perfect. I am practicing this week, but I have co started to communicate with Gemini, which is the Google version of ChatGPT. Now, it really doesn't matter what you use. It's just use whatever you've been consistent with. And I asked it to come up with my schedule for the week. First, it did it for the day. And then I said, you know, over the course of the week, include all of these things, time for my head to rest, so I can take breaks from my neurology, and make it neurodivergent friendly. Well, this morning I was doing training on LinkedIn because I included these two different trainings I signed up for, and at first I was like watching the clock, like I have an hour and a half left to go, like, oh my goodness, like.
Oh, that's
But
not a good sign.
no, it's actually really good. But once I got something shifted, once I got into the groove, heated up my coffee, realized I can still kind of go upstairs and stall until I went an extra 15, 20 minutes to finish what I was doing because I really liked what I was learning. Because I finally let myself get there in this chunk of time and I was looking forward to what came next. So what came next for me was my hour lunch, which is no tech, and then social media time. So I went for a walk. I had a nice lunch. I cleaned up some of the kitchen. Then I went to the dollar store because I want to work on a few things. And then I came back and my grandson and my kids are here. So this week I'm practicing. My week for August, I want to fine tune as we head into August. And that's my plan. But experiment with this. I don't know if you have you tried to go into like an online, what's it called? Whatever, Gemini. Gemini is my friend and I love it. Why are you laughing there, darling?
I know because whenever what you're explaining, I do. So I take my schedule. I'll give you an example. I've got my retreat coming up on the Alaskan Healing Cruise in August, and I have two healers, myself and another, with my attendees, the registrants. And I was looking at how do I schedule all of the healings for two? It's easy enough when you're just doing it for yourself. You're like, okay, I've got an opening here, you plop people in. Add a second person and my brain stops. So I went into Chat GPT and I says, this is the schedule, this is the openings, these are the two healers, these are the people who need which of the healings at, plug, make a schedule. It organizes my mind. I'll take an idea and I'll use this for talks. I use this for articles. I use it for outlines to prompt me, not to write it for me, right? It's to organize the brain because it's all here, but we're nonlinear.
We're non-linear and it shows up in different ways, and we need to have space for that because in the real world, there isn't space for that, right? So part of mine is painting time. Well, painting's been a new hobby since the last couple of years, and it still blows my mind that I have paintings in other people's homes, but it makes me feel better. It's therapeutic. It's so now it's in my calendar. So use the resources that you have. There's a bunch of, I don't know about you, Eva. I'm sure we'll dig into this, but I know I have a bunch of free tools. We just shared a lot on this platform already. You know, not just finding somebody who can talk your language. It's gonna help so much. But somebody who gets it so they can show you a different strategy. And it can be as simple as maybe you have a day timer, right? Because you need to write things down or doodle. Maybe you need to make your pen fun so you actually play with it. I had an MRI yesterday. I had an MRI done. I don't know if anyone's ever had an MRI done, and I had to go in
Yes.
this container. And they gave me a ball. I'm like, great, you gave me something to fidget with. Like, bless you. He's like, no, don't fidget with it. It's to call for an emergency.
They have pens now that have little spinners on the end.
Right,
Yeah.
these little tools, and they're available everywhere. And sometimes it's just a matter of doing life differently. And while you're painting, you can listen to a podcast, right? You can watch something else on YouTube. You can play fun music and dance all day. I'm only bringing this up because there are so many tools. Some come with the price point and some don't. These are just that. These are tools. What you learn on our show, what you learn on my show, are our tips, are the fact that you're not alone, that there are other great people in the community that can support you. And most importantly, is they meet you where you're at. So tell us about that, Eva. When it comes to meeting people where they're at, what does that look like for you?
It means not forcing them into some rigid routine that they're not going to stick to. So it is exactly the definition is all right. So for example, I work with people in mineral balancing. The more energy that we can provide the body, the easier it is to overcome our stims and the stimulation of life as they're coming at us when we're neurodivergent. We need more energy to overcome the heightened. We want to be able to calm the body down. So that's the first order of business is get a mineral test, make sure that you're taking the right supplementation. And then we look at the food. And the food, it depends on where they are. Sometimes they're not even eating three meals a day. Sometimes they're barely eating anything. Sometimes they're eating more than that. Sometimes they're drinking their water with their meals. And so I don't look to change it all at once. I ask them, I say, all right, these are the, if I were to pick, I would pick these two things and say, these are priority for you according to me. What it's attracted to you? Like, what is it that when we write the list of things that we need to work on, maybe it's a list of three or four things right away. What lights up for you? What are you interested in? Because if they can get success with that one or two things, then they're going to be like, okay, wow, I feel so much better. There's the energy. I'm not bloated so much after eating, or I can see the difference in my sleep cycle. I can see that I'm sleeping better, all of that. Then they gain more confidence in it. From the confidence, then is what else can I do? It's funny how many people come to me, we're going through the consultation, and it's 90 minutes. It's a nice little VIP half day. And so we're sitting there going through all the details and explaining, making sense of their symptoms. And they see on my screen, because I share the screen with the results, 10 hours of sleep. And they laugh, ew, Eva, I never get 10 hours of sleep. And I'm like, no. This is how you know you're going through a healing reaction, because your body's in stage four of healing will actually tell you it needs more sleep by giving you 10 hours. So it's a mile marker. It's something to let us know where your body is. You will go back to 7 or 8 hours after it's done, but this is a new way of communicating with the body. So a lot of this is just learning another language.
Accepting and learning and expanding, right? If I may, Can you walk us through the four stages after I write that down? Accepting, learning,
Yeah.
and expanding. Hang on.
Yeah, four stages of healing. So I call this the healing cascades.
Cowboy. Right. Accepting, learning.
And expanding.
Thank
Okay.
you. I didn't want you going too far because I wanted to make sure everybody caught that. Those are so important, those three. Critical, really, if you think about it. And Eva, look at the time. Oh, you won't see the same time. It's 3:33 here. I am
The angel number celebration.
I
Yes.
am a big numerology, and even when I said sh shared with you earlier that I went out and ran some errands, I saw 444.
Very good.
So I think we might have cuteness come and say hi. We'll see. My grandson might say hello. Okay, so tell us about the four stages. Stage one.
Stage one, it's all about gathering energy. So I mentioned supplementation, water, getting your sleep. This adds energy to your healing bank account. Let's call it that, healing bank account.
I like that. I like that a lot.
And so, yeah, so we're putting in energy and everything that we do to take care of ourselves, self-love, it's the calendaring and making sure that the anxiety is taken care of when we listen to ourselves, all of that, it adds to the energy healing bank. Okay, so that's the energy gathering. Once the body has enough, 100% of the energy it needs in order to start a healing reaction, a healing period, it will start, and that becomes stage two. So stage two is the breaking down of anything that is old, unnecessary, irregular cells, things that don't belong in the body. Kill, maybe a kill off, a die off of candida or some other issue going on in the body. The body chooses. You don't get to choose. It's not up to you. Take your hands off the wheel. You'll feel better. Okay. Stage three is when the body needs to go through and dumpster. So this is what everybody else calls detoxing. This is just your detox pathways opening up. You sweat it out, you pee it out, you poo it out, it comes out. You're going to breathe it out. It's all coming out. This is when you wake up with a stuffy nose more than usual, or that cough that you're like, ooh, this is gross. Where'd this come from? That's stage three. Stage four is the rebuilding. You are a construction site. Okay? Things are going to run slower. Your glands are going to run slower. You're going to feel like you're gaining weight. It's all related. It's not going to last forever. It's a stage. And so, as the body is rebuilding, you'll sleep more and be more sleepy, right? And this is the body letting you know, I'm rebuilding you. You think about a construction site. What happens? We close down a lane all the way around the buildings, wherever it's situated, and traffic gets slower. There's things going on we have to be careful about. Same thing happens with the body. We're a construction site. Once it's done and gone forever, whatever that it is. And it could be a virus, it could be a bacteria that your body's like, no, it doesn't belong here. A metal, heavy metal, a nutritional imbalance, like too much copper in the body, too much zinc, too much iron, something. We never have too much zinc. But anyways, it's too much of something. Plastic, a parasite, anything along those lines, chemicals, pharmaceuticals, anything that your body didn't hasn't peed out already, you're going to get rid of in this stage. Once it's done, it's gone forever. And then guess what? You start all over again, stage one. And the body has a list, that laundry list that you think you got in your head of all of the things that you know you got to heal. I've got chronic fatigue, I've got anxiety, I've got insomnia, I've got blah, blah, blah. Whatever that list is, your body has its own list. It's sleep, it's water, it's the right foods, right? It will eventually, when you follow this list that your body has, it'll handle all this list that you have in your mind. This is where the communication lapses. Your body does not know Latin. It does not know the names of your symptoms. It only knows what it needs. Oh, you're muted. There you go.
So, question for you. We've always heard that there's a connection between sleep and mental health, especially sleep and being in depression. Not yet, honey.
I didn't hear what he said.
Oh, are you done, Grandma? Not yet. Not yet. Not too long, though, okay? So, sorry about that, listeners. Keeping it real here. Hudson, do you want to say hello? Want to wave at everybody? No? Okay. He's been on many shows with me. I used to watch him for the first couple of years, and he was always on different shows with me. So there's a correlation between depression and sleeping a lot. How would somebody know that there's a difference between being in stage four and just being, sorry, it's very interesting. My throat chakra is completely activated as I said that, versus being depressed.
Yeah, so there's the clinical depression, which is, woo.
Sorry, say it again.
Yeah, clinical depression, which is a it can has to be diagnosed, right? And so if you're with a psychologist and you've been diagnosed and you're consistently depressed, that's a chemical sedate and that can be reversed. I was one of those people. I was clinically depressed for many years and didn't know the difference at all because I never had a different experience other than just being depressed. So there's that. Once you have a difference, a delineation between the two, when you get tired, just because your body's going through stage four, you do not automatically re-velcro the mindset to being, oh, I must be depressed. There's a difference between the two. You can feel tired and fatigued, or I should say, knowing that your body's going through a healing and take your hands off the steering wheel and go, oh, I can trust my body to do this. Then your mindset becomes something over here, it's separate. So there's practices and skills that you can do during that time. One is gratitude journaling. That'll get you out of depression within a couple of weeks solid. If you do that every single day, you write down 10 things you're grateful for. And I mean really everything, not just the things that you're like, oh yeah, that's good. We're not doing good fishing finding. We're doing all of it. Oh wow, I got a ticket. I am so grateful that there are people on the road here to keep us safe. Reframe it. You're here to be grateful for it all because you don't know how it's actually going to end up. Just because you're judging as being something that is negative in the moment, you don't know the whole story. Let it unfold. So these are the things that you, they're skills.
They are
And once you
skills.
develop them, yeah,
Can I
you can
expand on the
move.
gratitude one?
Go for it.
Okay. So an exercise I have done with my clients before is I like to do my gratitudes in the shower. And you put your soap on the poop if you have a poop, and then you start to put it all over your body. So it's easy to be grateful for your head and shoulders, knees and toes, right? And then you take that soap bottle, and as soon as you touch it, it's easy to be full of gratitude that you can afford that soap bottle. And that you can afford that loof, and that somebody was creative enough to create that soap that you love because it makes your skin soft. So now you're grateful for the person that made the soft soap or whatever it is, and then the loofah, and then take it to that next level. And this is still with one thing, right? Take it to that next level of somebody traded 8 hours of their day to work in a factory to create these. So somebody, I'm having gratitude for that person's life because in exchange they were able to make this. So it goes so deep with one product once you start, or one thing, once you start practicing it. So gratituding, no, journaling 10 things of gratitude for 2 weeks is one way. You said you had a couple. What's another?
Yeah, a couple. One another is one of my favorite. This is a mysticism teaching. It's taking this saying, which is all the power that ever was or will be is here now, and really digging in on that. That means that thinking about the past, which often depresses us, or right, regret, or putting our mind somewhere in the future with a worry, way over here on that timeline down here, also creates anxiety. So you can get yourself into the present moment, gratituding, as you put it. That does bring you to the present moment, but it's also the only place. And if you can remind yourself, that is the only place where manifesting occurs, is in the present moment.
You see me with
Your
my
area.
mouth dropped open every once in a while. Yeah, I'm trying to keep it as mute as I can because he's just as entertaining as I am. My pen just fell apart. So there's a couple things that were brought up. So we talked about how being in the moment, and there's another really cute way I love to share with people about being in the moment. I'd love to put you to the test, Eva. Wiggle your toes.
Oh, yeah, it's being in your body.
What happens when you wiggle your toes is you automatically smile. You can't help but smile when you wiggle your toes, and it puts you again in the moment. So there's a couple of things I've already mentioned today. Painting puts you in the moment. Singing a song puts you in the moment. Having a shower puts you in the moment. Boxing, kickboxing, any kind
Dancing.
of sports, dancing. You cannot think about the future or worry. No, you can't think about the past or worry about the future if you're doing any of these things. So draw, color, knit, listen to something if you're neurodivergent and you need that sidebar entertainment at the same time. I think it's really cute how he had put a caution sign up right by my chair.
I
Don't
couldn't
know
see
where
it. That's funny.
don't know where he got it from, but there is another thing that you mentioned that I want to. First of all, I love the saying. I've never heard this before, and I want to make sure I capture this right for our listeners. All of the power that ever was and always will be is here now. I love it. I love it. So we talked about being depressed and the difference between being in a stage four phase and being depressed. And we put together a couple of exercises that we can practice for a couple of weeks to see whether or not we're depressed. I would have to say, now I'm asking for your 2 cents on this, but inadvertently, we know if we're depressed versus healing. If we're on a healing journey and we sleep more often than not, our sleep changes and slows down over time or then now occasionally. So for instance, I normally go to bed around 10:15, 10:30. I can wake up anytime between 5:30 and 7 on average. So today I woke up at 5:30 and I crashed and I woke up again at 9. So I got and I also napped yesterday. But I know I am personally in the middle of a healing journey, probably near the end. I truly believe in all of the different levels, stage four. And that's why I wanted to expand on stage four. You see, your healing journey can last weeks or months or years.
Yes.
And we don't know necessarily why we're going through it, but we have to get through it. And this is the dumping and the everything that you had mentioned. So we are starting all over again. But we just never know those start lines and those finish lines and having that schedule. So here's my biggest quandary. As somebody who's neurodivergent, when it comes to having to rest my head, so let's talk about a real life scenario. If we're working in a factory or in an office and we're going on 2 weeks vacation, we have everything put together in piles. We know what we're doing before we leave. And we know what we're doing when we come back. Would you agree?
Yes.
In theory. Okay. So somebody who, like me, if my nerves suddenly get inflamed and I could spend days to weeks on the couch, that vacation is spontaneous, if you would. I have no idea when it starts. I have no idea when it ends. And I have no idea what I'm coming back to except for 18,000 unread emails and over 100 unread texts. And it's easier not to do the work or to go and do what I naturally know how to do, right? Because I don't have the bandwidth to jump into right where I left off. First of all, I have no clue. But this is where finding these different tools and techniques. So this is where we're playing around a little bit with like ChatGPT or Gemini or whoever your online AI friendly friend is, make it your friend, make it a tool. It's not going anywhere. Getting these conversations like we're having today, whether they're through podcasts or through some books where you're hearing dialogues, can make a big difference. Because the big lesson is, you are exactly where you are supposed to be. You're going through whatever you need to be going through for whatever purpose you're going through it. And you're gonna get through it. It's not gonna stay like this forever, despite how it feels.
Yeah, the only constant is change.
The only constant is change. Yeah. So, how would you sum everything up that we've talked about today?
Oh, a summation. Well, I think the most important thing, you mentioned self-acceptance early on, and I think that that is true. And I often will say, look, you're the only one who lives in this skin. So listen to your internal voice and care less about other people's opinions about what's going on if it disagrees with your own about your body. So, where you are in your healing journey, what's going on with you, tune in and ask yourself if that's true. And for the ways and how to do that, that's part of what I teach and offer. And it's not something I can give you in a podcast, but it is something that you can learn. You can learn when things start. You can understand what your body's communicating to you. And having that relationship with you be solid and galvanized, knowing who you are, start there. I would start with that.
You know, there's so much power to what you're saying about not just the self-acceptance piece, but listening to your inner voice. That comes with time. You know, most people that are Gen Xers should be to the part of their life where they can strongly believe in their own intuition and that they know how to listen to that voice. And if they don't, that's a huge message. Slow down. You're moving too fast and it's not going to get you anywhere, but to the other side that much quicker. I have too many friends who have hit retirement and are dealing with health issues, and that wasn't what they had planned at all, right?
No,
It
that's
just
way
suddenly
too young.
stopped and everything has fallen apart. So ask yourself, tune in and ask yourself what is true. Now there's a, it's called the emotional code here, and you can ask, look in the mirror. And first, ask yourself something like, is my name Sonia? And your body should sway one way or another. Naturally, it should, you know, but if you say, is my name Sonia, it should not sway forward.
Right.
Okay. And then you can say, is today Wednesday? And hope that it is. And then see what your body does. It's
Right.
Wednesday, I'm pretty sure. And then the other thing is, you can ask yourself, that's how you're learning to tap into what your body is saying. And now you can ask yourself a yes, no question. You know, tune in. Start to learn what your body's messages are saying. They've been speaking to you all along, and life's been too noisy for us to pick them up. So I loved how you said to listen to your inner voice and tune in and ask yourself, not just is this true, but I'd like to add to that. And one of my favorite questions I ask myself and my clients is, what else is true? You know, sure, this might be true, but what else is true?
What else is true? And sometimes the question you ask, the answer is true, but the question is misformed.
You're not asking the right
If you're off
question.
by one word, exactly. If you're off by one word, spirit is very stiff on this. It's like you asked me that question, not this one. So it's going to answer the question you asked for. So if you think you've asked the right question, ask it again in a new way. And see what answer you get.
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. I love that. I love that. I'm going to do a selfish little plug right here because I don't even think you know about this yet. You saw me put it together, but this is my very first book that I wrote, and it's called Your Story Matters. It's about 4 or 5 years old now, and it's a woman's self-love, self-awareness workbook available
Lovely.
on Amazon. I will have the links available to for you to take a look at, as well as all of Eva's links are going to be included today. But if you're curious about, you know, your story matters and what that's like, what changes, it helps you learn who you are. It's kind of like doing courses in your adult life. I am doing a course right now on LinkedIn optimization, and I love what I'm learning even about myself through this process. Like I said, I didn't want to stop today. And on the flip side to that, I've got some human design magic up my sleeve that I'm working on as well. So, what else do you have for us? Do you have any events, anything coming up that we need to know about besides your retreat? Is it full?
Well, yeah, that's I mean that's the ongoing thing. It's not just a one and done retreat. been doing retreats for years, and I finally figured out the formula. So, yeah, if you want your energy reset for your body physically in places that you cannot see with these eyes, this is what we're going to do. It's all hands-on, one-on-one healing. It's not one big room with a magic wand and okay, you're all healed. No. It is work that is can only be done in person. Activations to get to your purpose, to figure out what are the breadcrumbs that I need to know about in life and milestones that I should keep my eye out for to achieve along the way so that I can make sure I am tuned in and delivering the gift that I'm here to deliver. Because that's why we're here. Once you know yourself as an eternal being, you can do so much more. And if you don't know that, you're lost
You are so
and
lost.
depressed.
And I'm gonna elaborate on that and say it shows up in so many different ways. Once you know you are wearing tank tops with shorts or with pants, like it's
Have paper.
Sorry, guys. Eva, I should have given you a heads up there, but I didn't know we were going to have company. My grandson's in here playing along, and he just asked for paper, and I didn't want him using random. So we need to hold space for one another. We need to hold space for ourselves, for our growth, for our evolution, for the things we didn't know when we didn't know it. That's what this is all about. Were you able to include some information on the retreat for our listeners?
Can I give them information?
Like, will you have a link that you'll be providing?
Oh, yes, I do. Do you want me to put it into chat right now or just send
I'll
it to
send it
you
with
here?
the show notes and I, or
Got
send
it.
it with me
Yes.
and I'll make sure that it's included with the show notes.
Yeah,
I loved
and
what we talked about today, you know, the four different stages, you know, the gratitudes, the spiritual gifts that we have, the things that are different, but yet we all need to lean into. So, ladies listening to this, if you have any questions, we're going to have Eva's contact information in the show notes as well as mine. This will be repurposed on in multi different layers. And this is what I started to say before I got cutely distracted over here. But it shows up completely different when you own your shadow, when you know who you are. It shows up different in your dress. And I was joking when I said that, but not really. If you see my social picture today, I'm actually wearing my bikini top and a white pair of wide-legged pants. But then throughout the day, they're way too long, so I was able to roll them down at the waist. So it looked very comfy and casual. And when I went out, I just threw this top over top. But literally, it is what my future self would be wearing. And that is so important when we think of this healing stage. We are releasing what was once part of our past, and we're stepping into that version of her, that new version of her.
And it served its purpose in the moment. Let's not think that just because we're healing something that something was wrong. That's a big message in mineral balancing, is when you're getting rid of or chelating out heavy toxic metals mechanically by pulling them out of place. It is the same thing as taking a tire, a spare tire, off of your car and riding around on the rim. Don't do this to your organs. Let it be natural. So this is a natural process. If you have toxins, it's because you don't have the minerals in your system to be in place of where they are. Your body will know what to do when they get them. So anyways,
No,
that's
it's cool.
an important point.
Let's get our listeners over to Eva so she can help you. If you have any questions for either one of us, we are both here with open arms to answer any questions that you have and to guide you through that next step. The step that primarily starts with gratitude, no matter where you're at, and acceptance, no matter where you're at. And maybe dig a little bit more because if you are on the ADHD spectrum anywhere, what if you learned a little bit more and found a way of working with it instead of against it? What else would happen?
Oh,
Right?
yeah, it's mental kung fu.
It's so liberating. And this is without medication, guys. This is just us finding strategies that we want to share with everybody. And one more piece of advice I want to say is every piece of work that you do along the healing lines brings you closer and closer, sooner and sooner, to that epic person that you are meant to be. That you are shedding to be. On that note, we are going to sign off today, guys. And if you have, if you're ready to jump in with both feet, we are right here to support you on your journey towards health and happiness. Have a great day.